This is Strange Harbor.
4,500 years, 2,500 BC. It's called it's VA 243. It's in a museum in Berlin. It's well dated. Called the Granting of the Plow. But this is what makes this special right here. Solar system, right. Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, in their relative sizes, mind you. Earth, Moon, Mars, and then, what should be here? This should be the asteroid belt. This is Nibiru, folks. Nibiru. Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto as a moon of Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Notice that it's only a little bit bigger than Uranus, Neptune. It's about 3 times bigger than Earth. Did it occur to any of you that we were looking at a cylinder seal carved 4,500 years ago that had Uranus in it that we only discovered in 1781 when our telescopes got good enough to see it? It had Neptune when we discovered in 1846 when our telescopes got good enough to see it, and Pluto, which we discovered in 1930 when our mathematicians got good enough to tell our astronomers where to look for the thing, because it was so small. What are the Sumerians doing knowing about that? Furthermore, what are they doing writing in one of their tablets that if you look at these two, Uranus and Neptune, in the heavens, meaning right out on them, they look like blue-green watery twins? When we didn't find that out, we thought they were just big old gas bags like Jupiter and Saturn until Voyager went out there in 86 and 89 and found that, lo and behold, they really are blue-green watery twins. What the Sumerians said 4,500 years ago. Furthermore, they didn't count the way we do. Earth was not the third rock from the sun to them. It was number 7. So that means they were counting from out here and they were putting Pluto in its correct place. What are they doing with all that knowledge? Well, they make no bones about it. They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru. The people living on Nibiru came to Earth and gave us everything that we have, everything that you know, our great culture. What's the proof of that? Is there any proof that any ancient advanced civilization was ever on Earth at any point in the dim or distant past? Yes, yes, the megalithic structures out there, the pyramids, Tiahuanaco, Baalbek, Teotihuacan, Stonehenge, you name it, a couple of dozen of them. All of those are impossible for human beings to recreate today. And yet we are told in another one of these great fantasies that they were somehow created by people in ancient times, ancient Egyptians or ancient Sumerians or anybody. And it's just absolute malarkey, impossible.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unmasked, and the unavailable.
Johnny and Billy here. We talk about weird things, strange things, Loch Ness, UFOs, abductions, alien abductions, not Sasquatch. Actually, we would do Sasquatch abductions too, right?
Have we ever heard about a Sasquatch abduction?
Yes, we have.
Uh-huh.
Albert Osman was abducted by a Sasquatch.
Albert Osman.
Albert Osman, you can Google him.
Good.
And you will find his story. We've posted it on strangeharbor.net. He was a young prospector. I want to say this is the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was in a sleeping bag. Something picked him up, carried him miles. He was like zipped in his sleeping bag, and with gravity and the way he was held, he couldn't get out. He finally gets to the destination where this Sasquatch allegedly carried him, and he couldn't get out the way it was like a ravine, or it was like these high cliff walls, and there was only one way in and one way out, and it was blocked. And he lived with this family of Sasquatch, a mom, dad, son, daughter. They wouldn't let him go. And I guess the vibe he had gotten was that they wanted him to mate with the daughter. That's the vibe he said he got. That's like why, I don't remember why he felt that way, but he didn't talk about it all of his life. He mentioned it in his latter part of his life. He was just a really, really old guy. And the people that have to know and have to say things like, well, prove it, or take a lie detector test. Well, he did. He took quite a few, and he passed them every time. And people that have known him for years are like, you know, he's not the type of guy to make something up like this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just not his character. But anyway, he's passed on now, but he did get to tell his story, and you could find it online. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, sounds interesting. You know, it makes you wonder if Sasquatch perceives human beings as just a unique or different species of Bigfoot. You know, of
the hairless, the bald Bigfoot?
They see us as the lesser species, but, you know, maybe with characteristics they'd like to add to their own. So therefore they would like to breed with humans.
A 9 foot tall, hairy being? That's pretty sexy, isn't it? that's Johnny at Strange Harp. No. Our guest today, do you want to introduce our guest or do you want me to?
Well, our guest, if we can get her on the phone, is...
If she'll accept our call.
If she'll accept our call, yeah. Is Eileen Meyer, and she has a website called Kaiopa Rising, the Intercosmic Gateway. And I'm not really sure what all this is about. We're going to have to ask her to explain it all to us.
From my understanding, she's had aliens or these beings of light communicate to her at a young age, and she didn't know what it meant until later she figured it out and is able to interpret what these messages are, whether or not she's still getting contacted or not. I guess we're going to have to ask her.
We're going to have to ask her. We're going to have to find out.
So we'd like to welcome Eileen to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be invited.
So we were checking out your website, how do I pronounce it?
Kaiopa. Kaiopa.
That's what, kaiopa-rising.com. And you've had communications with these beings?
Yeah, non-human intelligence. It's a good way to describe everything that, you know, kind of falls under that heading. Yes, a lifetime experience.
So when did this start?
As far back as I can remember, when I was a child, it just being a natural event. It wasn't unusual because I hadn't been, you know, reprogrammed yet.
Right. Yeah. Kids are open to things. And
yeah. Yeah. To, you know, I hadn't been told yet that it wasn't real. And so that's what I, when I share this stuff now, which I'm coming out more now and sharing, you know, I like to just say that that's my baseline. That's when I knew, you know, what it felt like and that it was completely natural. And then it was, you know, life as a human on 3D planet Earth that reprogrammed and reprograms all of us. So that our attention is taken away from these natural abilities and these natural connections.
So how did you know they were communicating with you? I mean, was it voices in your head? Was it feelings?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because, no, it is not categorized as voices in the head. That's when we can be, when we start hearing voices in our head, that's when we should pay close attention and watch that because that can be done in a false way. With technologies now, it is a resonance. It's like, well, as a musician, it's very easy for me to grok. You know, it's like humming or being in vibration with it, and it's like every cell of your body lights up, and you just feel. Yes, so feel is an operative word here.
Mm-hmm.
You feel and know. And so what people call telepathy, I've tried to stay away from that word.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I've described it as hearing, or then they said in my head, especially lyrics and one song in particular, it's more like these balls of light or just spherical knowing where it just kind of descends on you. And you instantly grok a lot, something that with your linear mind you'd probably have to study for a year to really understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's and people call this downloads, and I've used that word as well.
Okay.
A lot of that happening throughout my life.
Now, what would they say to you, or what do they still communicate?
Yes.
What do they say to you?
They are their primary focus is the evolution of human consciousness, because while we want to meet, we want to see UFOs in the sky, we want them to land, we want to talk to them, we're not ready for that,
right?
Consciousness-wise. So there are, I'm not the only one, by the way, that knows these things and has communed in this way with non-human intelligence. And this gets very much overlooked in our culture, because it's, you know, literally on the flashy lights in the sky. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of amazing encounters have occurred this way. But it's also an environment where we can be tricked very easily.
Yeah.
Unless we have at least more of our consciousness active and working. So what they have taught me about over the course of my life, both as, you know, with the downloads and as kind of like a guinea pig for applying some of this stuff and finding that it works and finding that it's true, they are kind of coaching humanity to at least take an interest in developing your own consciousness and reconnecting with these greater aspects of your being, so you're not going to completely freak out with fight or flight stuff when that high vibration energy comes around. So they kind of adapted me to it. They evolved me to these high frequencies. And I talk about why fear comes up. I learned why fear happens, and that it's primarily us, that it's our own fear that we project onto them.
And is this a two-way conversation you have with them, or is it just one way? In other words, do you listen or do you communicate with them?
Yeah, good question. It was mostly one way for most of my life. And then in 2005, I'd had a full Kundalini awakening. I didn't know that's what you called it in 1998. But it took me years to integrate and reorient to that kind of consciousness. You know, it's kind of like getting used to more. In 2005, I was through a bunch of incredible synchronicities. I ended up mentoring with a channel and a mystic. And I wanted to learn. It was like, well, I should learn how to channel because, you know, how do I bring this through in real time? Because when you have the downloads, you're in it. You're immersed in it. And it's real time, like present moment consciousness. And then you have to come out of it and go, okay, now what was that? How do I, you know, and then you're back into linear land. And it's very difficult to translate into language. But I had wanted to learn, like, how do you do this channeling thing? And long story short, I couldn't connect in the way that I was being taught, because I had been connecting my whole life in a very emotionally based way,
right?
You know, through the emotions and just through resonance. So then, after I was so frustrated and I felt so bad and I felt like a loser and everything because I couldn't do it. This presence, this contact occurred again and said, here's how to access, and here's how you show up on the radar and how to connect with this field. And so I applied that for years, and I started, some switch, you know, switched on in my head or something, maybe the pineal gland, I don't know. All I know is the experiential from within me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to start to translate in words. And even then, I just brought them through and I filed them away because it could not compare with all the wonderfully dramatic things about ETs, and, you know, no one was interested in consciousness. And so I filed them away. I have like over 300 files that I'm starting to bring out now about how they say this works in our consciousness and how to do this.
Now, you wrote a book about this, right?
I wrote a book about the highlights of my life, you know, throughout my life, and how I have lived a very different kind of life than most people I know. And I wanted people to know that what that journey was about, where it took me here, it took me here, then here, then here, then here, and then ultimately, my conclusions at the time in 2017 is when the book was published. And it's dynamic. It is constantly changing. And I'm constantly growing, and I feel like, you know, even when I do talks, I have to I have to shift and change things because I have new insights into, you know, what I'm given and also what I've applied. And you know, it's almost like I'm a scientist in some ways, which is probably pretty laughable to the scientific community, but
it's
like real-time practice.
Yeah, you gather information and you kind of sort it out and you draw conclusions from it. So that's scientific.
Yeah, thank you.
What is the purpose of this communication? And you said earlier to enlighten our consciousness or to bring a more potent conscious energy. What are we going to do with that energy?
Not destroy our planet.
Finally.
And humanity.
Yes.
Right.
With it. Yeah. I guess that's the simplest answer.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, though, because I've been preaching on this show for years that, you know, we have to think of our planet in a different way and to become more in tune with the planet, develop a more symbiotic relationship in which there's both give and take. But I like that you brought that forward.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's all about that. That, you know, we talk about evolution of consciousness, but what this intelligence has emphasized consistently is that before we can even evolve, we have to restore
mm-hmm.
our natural original design that
yes.
has been suppressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess it's been about 5 years, 6 years ago now, I had a near-death experience out of body. I've actually had several, but this is the most recent one. And that's what I was being told over and over again, is about reestablishing our relationship to the planet, being good stewards for the planet, taking care of it. And as we take care of it, it will take care of us. All of our needs would be met if we learn to take care of the planet and develop a better relationship with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think this is... And from what I'm hearing from you and from other people, that this is kind of a universal message that's coming from the energy of the universe. I think that the messages you're getting are very valid, and I like hearing this kind of stuff. So tell
Thank
us more.
You, Billy. I love talking to other experiencers, too, because it's like, you know, it's wonderful to hear this from you, Billy, because this is our common denominator. We don't have to, it's like we can start on this platform of, yeah, I get it, I know.
Yeah.
Now let's take it from here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've all got to learn to speak the same language a little bit, develop this relationship that, not just between us and the planet, but between human beings as well.
Exactly.
You know, to understand that this energy of the universe flows through all of us.
Right. And that is, you know, in addressing your question, the other part of this is that, in fact, they do want us to learn the language of the universe.
Yes.
Because until we do that, we're just going to be trapped in our, you know, concepts and ideologies and, you know, everything that we've been taught. And this is what I share when I give a talk, and I'm doing one at the Washington MUFON this Saturday. And this is what I address, that now I don't know if it's because, you know, music has been a big part of my life and that it was easier for me to understand these things. It was easier for me to connect with this language because it is frequency. It is energy, vibration.
Yes.
And you know this. I know you know this. And so if we can at least have an interest in going within instead of constantly being focused on the outer world, we might be able to, you know, make some inroads into connecting with non-human intelligence much faster than if we're focused on the skies.
I believe that.
Not saying that amazing things don't happen in that arena. I'm just saying, this is where I've been pointed to my entire life.
And we talk a lot about Bigfoot on this show. And, you know, I'm wondering if those principles of communication, of sharing energy, can be used to communicate with other beings like Bigfoot or other beings that may exist.
This is what I'm just now understanding. That, you know, I have some friends who are enthusiasts and interested and connect and, you know, a variety of levels of connection with Sasquatch. And I had never really considered that before. It was always, you know, just a different focus for me. But I'm very interested utilizing that same language to connect with any and all of these interdimensional type beings.
Yeah. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's time for a break at Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and we have our guest Eileen on the show. More coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and we have Eileen Meyer on the phone with us today, author of Coyopa Contact Within, The Plumed Serpent Rises. Did I get that right? Your book available on Amazon. Any other places we can get your book?
Well, I usually have them with me when I do talks.
Oh, okay.
Coming up. Also, just I think any of the big digital sites
okay.
buy books.
And your website?
Coyoparising.com. That's Coyopa Rising. www.transladyhealth.com.
And we can find you on YouTube also, right, through your website?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's called Translating Infinity.
Now, you've been in contact with these beings. Do you consider them extraterrestrial, or is it just something that we haven't kind of figured out? We don't have, like, a label for them?
Yeah, it's, you know, all of this is kind of, you know, over the arc of my life and in hindsight, trying to, the challenge in my life mostly has been to find translations in which to describe this kind of non-human intelligence. Now, I've also had classic abduction experiences. So while it started with and seems to be consistent with, you know, these tall, gold, white, light beings, very high vibration beings that I'm encouraged not to use names or planets or use any definitions from all that we've known, but mm-hmm. rather to go outside of that and just feel and begin to even create my own words or identify them in terms of pure energy. So it's light, it's sound. These beings that have communicated with me most of my life. And then I've had experiences with the grays.
Mm.
I have had experiences with the mantid-type beings.
Oh, wow.
I have, let's see, what else was there? Now, when I say experiences with them, I am not talking about a spaceship landed and I was taken on board and mm-hmm. then they put me on a table and, you know, no, it's an interdimensional experience where, yes, you wake up in your bedroom and you go, holy what's in my room? You know, what, you know, the vibrations are so high. And I talk about this in my book that it's like, yes, something is here, but always what they would do is it would always be in my third eye where I would see them. I would see an image. And then the experiences were, you know, I was even taken out my window. I lived in a condo in San Diego, California. And this was the biggest learning or teaching interaction I ever had because it changed me. It was a pivot, a huge pivot in my life of understanding this contact.
Mm-hmm.
And about fear and love and our perceptions and how we carry this fear in our body. You know, I've had a lifetime of clearing trauma. I even had to go to do brain spotting to continue to eliminate the trauma and basically deep, deep shadow work to create the opening so that I could resonate even more with this intelligence. And with other parts of our own consciousness. It isn't just other.
Mm-hmm.
It's remembering who we are and reactivating that within our own consciousness. So, yes, so even the experience of being floated through my window and what that felt like, mm-hmm. you know, on a molecular type level, that was fascinating. Then being taken, shot out into space, basically, and then massive downloads with geometric figures floating by. And I was learning about the geometric figures, but I couldn't tell you now
mm-hmm.
anything about those geometric figures, but it's in me that I have the whole feeling understanding of it. But what happens is when I live my life or I'm talking to people like yourselves and these things start to come up, then it's like the data is there to access if it's important in the interaction, I guess is a good way to say it.
Well, the question I wanted to ask you is, do these beings identify themselves, or is it just kind of a general contact?
Like, hey, this is Fred,
yeah,
how you doing?
I mean, are they very specific beings, or,
No.
Is it the same being over and over? Or is it
no,
a variety?
It's energy. It's and when I translate the messages, even that shifts from time to time of the vibe or feel. It's like, oh, this is the emphasis. This voice and this presence is the emphasis now. But it is. See, we're so accustomed to thinking of individual.
Mm-hmm.
This is group. This is a field. And this is something that we can access with our own consciousness. They do not say this is Sam from planet Hooptor. Never, never have I gotten that.
Okay.
In fact, it is emphasized that it's important to learn how to identify energy and frequency because that's how you know the truth.
So how do you know if the difference between, you know, good and, I don't say good and bad, but like being tricked by someone or something else and then the benevolent beings of light?
Yes, and that's actually what I just said addresses that, but I'll highlight it.
Dumb it down for me, because you and Bill, you and Billy are on the same. You guys are on the same wave, and I'm not there.
No, yes, you are. You are more than you think.
Thanks.
That's why we need to learn to identify with frequency and energy. That's why we need to heal our trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about resonance. If you're resonating with fear and anger, mm-hmm. You're going to attract that.
Okay.
Plain and simple, pure, simple physics. And when you start to know thyself, which I usually like to say, know thy frequency,
mm-hmm. I like that.
Then you know yourself. So that's your baseline.
Okay.
That's who you are. I mean, we're always constantly learning and growing. But when one of the gifts that I have now as a result of doing this process and this work over the years, this inner work, is that I know instantaneously when someone is lying to me. I know when we're being tricked.
Yes.
So this is actually how we know that we're being tricked.
Okay.
Is this kind of inner process and healing. The healing is so crucial. Now, to heal this, whatever we've hidden away or stuffed or tried to make go away because it didn't fit in this world, which is usually feelings and emotions, we're told not to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our superpower, turns out, that this intelligence is telling me.
So how do we do that? How do we heal that, those things?
Well, first and foremost, what anybody can do is just to start to take an interest in your own consciousness and why you feel the way you feel and why, you know, how you were conditioned or how you were raised, what you were programmed with that isn't in alignment with who you actually are. So if you're feeling depression, this is where depression and mental illness comes from primarily. It's where, you know, suicide, the rates are going skyrocketing now. I also, on a few occasions, came very close to suicide,
mm-hmm.
simply because I could not bridge these two worlds, and I didn't know how, and I wasn't allowed to be who I was in this environment because I was laughed at and told I was crazy and shunned and shamed and all that stuff. It's important that we begin to reclaim the truth about who we are, and we can't do that unless we give ourselves permission to really start to heal what has gone wrong, what we've been programmed with that is not accurate about who we are. And that can be done very simply with trauma therapies like EMDR and brain spotting. Brain spotting is what I went through. But also they taught me also in 2005 this, I just call it Koyopa meditation, but it's a process that's very simple and that we can all do that moves our consciousness along working with bringing these things out into the light of day so that we can start to feel and resonate with these higher frequencies of consciousness that aren't other necessarily but are part of who we are. So then we can commune with non-human intelligence. We can commune with our source instead of a mental linear, you know, trying to do a back and forth dialogue in that way.
And
we
not just commune
multi-
with it, but to make it work with us.
Yeah. And it's we're restoring our multidimensional nature, put very simply. And what they're telling me and us is that we're in charge of this, and we can self-direct this evolution.
Yes.
You know, this is, don't be waiting for spaceships to show up in the sky to save us, because nobody's going to save us. Nobody.
No, we have to do it ourselves.
We have to do it ourselves, and absolutely true, Billy.
But nobody wants to.
And precisely, Donnie, why I am not popular. Seriously, it's like I've been trying to get my voice out there, hello, but I don't fit into ufology at all. Nobody's interested in what I have to say. I mean, it's growing now, because I think people are more open to, oh, maybe this is all about consciousness. Maybe take a look here.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what it kind of boils down to is whenever we're faced with, oh, it's something I have to do.
Right.
Then that's when it gets scary, and that's present moment, and that's self-evaluation and taking charge of your own life and all of these things that empower us to be, you know, the humanity that we were designed to be. But what's easier is to go jump to the next exciting story, entertainment from the outer world, distraction.
Yeah, I think most people are so focused on meeting their basic needs and trying to be social and
Facebook and the Kardashians
and trying to fit into society that they fail to see this energy that not only will help them to fit into society, but will literally make them a part of a society.
Yeah. That's an excellent way to describe it.
I know that all the people that I know who are energy people or near-death experiences or whatever, we all kind of have this sense about one another, this sense that we belong with one another. When we accept this energy from the universe, it helps us to be part of that group, part of that society that kind of understands that there's so much more beyond, you know, getting up and going to work and watching TV and making sure you have a good lunch and all that. It just goes way beyond that. And it has a lot to do with how we treat each other as well.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people don't grasp that that we're basically all one species on this planet. And we may believe differently or look differently, but really we're all just one. I have never heard this word, Kaiopa, before. Where does this come from?
It is from the Mayan K'iche language, Kaiopa, which means, it's like Kundalini. Kundalini is the Sanskrit word. Kaiopa is the Mayan word.
Okay.
From the K'iche language.
Yeah.
Their way of describing it is like a lightning, and the inner soul like reemerges through this lightning. The reason I used this word for my book was because so much of my, you know, over the arc of my lifetime has been about receiving these messages.
Yes.
And in their language, they say that once this reorientation occurs, once this event or events, when they occur, you now have access to these cosmic messages that come through. So Kaiopa is like the word in Mayan for Kundalini.
So, and Kundalini is an energy, there's a form of yoga that attracts this Kundalini energy.
Well, first and foremost, I do not see these, you know, contact with non-human intelligence and the Kaiopa or Kundalini event as separate things.
Yeah.
This is all a part of my evolution to open to this, to these understandings, and to be able to translate them to other people. I mean, I have a greater understanding of this now, sitting where I am now. It was a very, very, very difficult life, and I wanted to die so many times. But I am so glad that I did not end my life, because now I have a much larger view of what's happening with not only my own consciousness, but the collective consciousness as well. What this also brings in is, okay, so in Kundalini in Sanskrit, it's the goddess energy at the base of the spine that gets released.
Right.
And so this is what I talk about when I share this material too, is that what these experiences do is they essentially reopen you up back into the feminine part of your being, your inner core that we've lost touch with. And so I talk also about the divine feminine, and that this in fact is what people call the return of the divine feminine. Is simply this reawakening of the feminine aspects of spectrum of our consciousness, our natural consciousness, which has been pretty much buried in the patriarchal reorientation,
yeah,
or orientation, you know, for centuries. And this is the return of that feminine part of our consciousness. You know, from my vantage point today, I can look back and go, oh, I see how that's important to,
yeah,
restore that again and to restore our consciousness. And that's what waking up is. You know, some people think that waking up is just the general kind of, it's a place to begin, but like with conspiracy theories and, oh, wow, so this is what the government's about and this is what, you know, that, yeah, that's a part of waking up. That's kind of like the beginning of going, oh, you mean everything we were told wasn't accurate? You know, good place to start. But then it's going to lead you eventually into restoring the eyes that see and the ears that hear, basically.
Do you think that there's feminine and masculine versions of this energy, or do you think that it's more feminine?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't think it has masculine, feminine, this energy that I've been connecting with. What it does, though, is it initiates within me this, you know, marriage of the masculine and feminine within me to restore that one consciousness. We've been split, you know, just right down the middle, you know, with the obvious right brain, left brain, feminine, masculine. You know, that's just part of this three-dimensional orientation, the polarization, the opposite. What we're doing now is we have the opportunity at this 26,000-year cycle, basically, to wake up to these things and to reorient to our whole natural state of consciousness.
Yeah. Does a person have to wait for the beings to contact them? Can they try to contact the beings? How could I catapult or start my enlightenment of what you went through, the light and the communication, or is it not possible?
No, it's possible. And that's what they're constantly saying, like very repetitively through the messages, is it is possible now. It's simply honesty and innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That's the humility of, I don't know. I don't know how this works, but it's okay,
mm-hmm,
that I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
You'll make more progress with honesty and innocence, and this is part of the practice they gave me, was just sitting down and saying, I'm here. Just open that doorway. I'm willing to open that doorway and stay present with my consciousness. And then it's a matter of, you know, very basically and simply, this process that they taught me is, what are you feeling now? And answering that as honestly and innocently as possible each time that prompt comes from this inner intelligence, or, you know, you can call it your guides, you can call it source. I don't use the word God so much anymore, because that God word is, and Billy, I want to ask you about this too. When you have these experiences, a lot of experiences come back and go, I can't use that word God anymore. You know?
In my book, I don't use the word God at all.
Yeah.
You know, 300 and some pages, and God is not mentioned. I talk about spirit, spirituality,
yes,
the universe, the energy of the universe. In my mind, the energy is God, if you want to call it that. God has such a specific connotation to people on this planet. That it's not, I don't think it's very accurate. Their perception of God is not very accurate. So I tend to not use that word, just like many, many others.
Yes, and I find that to be true as well, that most people who have had these direct experiences, they're just like, I think I'm going to use the word spirit or great spirit creator or, you know, because God seems to, well, first of all, it has all these negative connotations and has a lot of great connotations too, but God seems to be more of the concept or an idea based on ideologies and conflicting ideologies at that. So anyway, Johnny, addressing your question, it's very, very, it's so simple that the programming gets glitchy when I share it with people, because, I mean, I can watch the glitchiness of, oh, what? I have to what? And you know what I mean? And it's, when it comes down to it, this is where you find, you know, the difference between people who truly, really want to grow and evolve. And it doesn't have to be done in the ways that came through me. There's lots of other pathways, other things that people have brought through. And that's the beauty of this timing, is there isn't one special being we should be worshiping or following. It's coming through all of us who are opening to it and resonating with it. It's going to come through every single one of us. We're all ushering in the age of Aquarius and this next 26,000-year cycle in the Mayan calendar and a variety of other indigenous calendars. We are sitting at this crossroads in time that's very powerful, very potent, and if we can just take responsibility for our own consciousness and our own growth, we can do this.
Well, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes, very much so.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I'm sad that it's over.
I know that we could probably talk for another couple of hours.
Will you be a guest again?
Of course.
Well, the book is Coyopa, Contact Within, The Plumed Serpent Rises, available on Amazon and wherever you get books and stuff online. And the website is coyoparising.com. Can we throw a link on strangeharbor.net and all that stuff for you?
Yes, please do. Thank you.
Well, thanks again for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to contact us or find out more on Eileen or yell at Billy for his new age hooey, you can log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.